Hi, this is Chris Griffin, Associate Site Editor, SearchStorage.com. I'm here today with the Senior Analyst of the I&I Group, Tony Asaro, to talk about service level agreements with storage vendors. How's it going today, Tony?
It's going really well, Chris. How about with you?
Great. Let's jump right into it.
All right.
First off, can you tell me what the value of a service level agreement with a storage vendor is?
Well, that's a very open-ended question, and it's actually a very good one. You know, so service level agreements with storage system vendors really are a way for customers to get an idea of whether this is tier one, tier two storage. And in many cases, that line is very blurry. And so I think that the expectations of when people are going to invest in tier one, tier two storage, they have expectations of what the uptime is going to be, what the performance is going to be. And so I think customers really take a look at that as a metric of what they're going to be looking for their environments and for their applications. I think it's just one sort of checkoff item among many different things that they look at when they're looking at different storage systems.
Okay, but it sounds as if SLAs really don't have any teeth. So what would be the recourse for a customer then?
Well, you know, that's a great point, and it really comes more down to support than to service level agreements. It's not as if that there is some sort of financial guarantee that if we do not meet these SLAs that we're going to pay you back, or we're going to give you money back. There's none of that type of thing that goes on. And in the cases that it does happen, because there will be a storage system vendor or two that says, hey, we'll give you this if this happens, and you know, if we're not up 100% of the time, we'll pay you XYZ. But there's a lot of variables involved in that, right? I mean, if I'm the storage system vendor, I'm going to go look at the support environment and say, well, you didn't follow our best practices. You know, there was this variable and that variable that we couldn't predict, and this really wasn't our fault, and how do you know it was our fault? Maybe it was the network, et cetera, et cetera. So these SLAs really are more of a measure of what they can expect from these vendors. Now, it really comes down to support.
Yeah.
And how good the support organizations. And it also depends on how big the opportunity is. And I have to be very frank with it. It is business. So people want to go in there and they say, well, look, this problem is just too big. We're not going to be able to fix this. It's going to cost us more money. We might have to walk away from this. But really, it comes down to how well those storage systems, how those storage system vendors support their different customers. And I have to tell you, the support levels, depending on the vendor, depending on the company, depending on the visibility, will vary by the size of the environment. So a multi-million-dollar customer, just realistically, is going to have a lot more recourse, as you say, than somebody who's spending $50,000, right? Because they can wave a competitor in front of them and say, hey, you know what? You don't fix this problem. We're going to go to the next vendor that's been knocking on our door anyway. So the recourse is, will they do business with you going forward? And how public will this be? Will they tell their peers about it? Will they tell, you know, will that person go to another organization and never use you again? So it really is more of doing good business, which is why we're going to do what we can to take care of you.
Okay, so what then is the importance of an SLA for a customer before purchasing a product?
Well, so I think that what's going to be important for customers today, and what already is important, is that there is a expectation of what this system is going to do for me. So, you know, this is where, as I said before, it is a menu item and a lot of things that they have to take a look at when they are going to be acquiring a storage system. So if this is going to be your bread and butter storage system, all your primary applications, you have to do a lot of homework before you make that decision, which is why a lot of people go to the leading vendors, because they just say, hey, well, look, if this thing's in tens of thousands of environments, then it must be okay in my environment as well. You know, in that case, quantity does mean quality as well. At least that is the implication. So the SLAs, as I said before, are really more of a measuring stick of that storage system and what the expectations are around it.
Okay, and what about specific storage technologies, solid-state drives, intelligent tiering tools, thin provisioning? What considerations should you be giving these, and how do they impact SLAs?
Well, I think the question really is an important one, because now the world is changing, right? We're advancing, we're adding new technologies, things like thin provisioning, and you know, basically virtualizing the volume to a point where it's fooling the application. It's telling it has a lot more capacity than it really does. So there are metrics around that we have to make very sure of, because you know, we don't want to ever run out of capacity if an application needs it. And if the application thinks it has it, it will keep consuming until it doesn't have any more. So we have to be very careful about that. We are getting into a world now where we're going to do granular and intelligent tiering, so that basically means I'm going to stretch a volume, and that means that part of my volume might be on a fiber channel or an SSD, and the other part might be on SATA, and it might be a, you know, 10% is on the fast stuff and 90% is on the slow stuff. And so there's a lot of automation that has to occur. The storage system has to start making decisions for you, and there are a lot of system administrators that might feel a little bit uncomfortable with that. But when we start getting into it being commonplace for people to have hundreds of terabytes and petabytes and tens of petabytes, and as time goes on, that's going to become more and more commonplace, you have to let the storage system start automating more for you. But as you do that type of thing, I think SLAs will become more important, because now it comes down to the point where if I'm going to trust these things to do the things that I need them to do without me being in the decision process, then you have to guarantee certain things to me. So I do think the landscape is changing, and we have to be more concerned about reporting and analysis than ever before, so that the IT guy, the IT professional, isn't going to get any surprises, especially if it affects their business and on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, great. And finally, I think we need to mention cloud storage real quickly. So can you just discuss SLAs and how they work with cloud vendors?
We have to mention cloud storage.
Yeah, it's an obligation. at least 1 minute in every podcast I have to mention it.
So this is really important, too, because right now there's a lot of cynicism around cloud storage. And the public cloud storage, which is what I think you're talking about, public cloud storage like Amazon S3 and Iron Mountain's got stuff out there, and Nervonix, and there are other vendors as well. They're going to be providing more and more storage in the cloud. And the so far the attraction has been this notion of cost. I'm going to be able to do it at a lower cost, and I don't have to manage it, and I can use someone else's infrastructure, and there's less floor space, power, cooling. All of those things are advantageous to me. But how well do I trust it? So the first notion is to say, okay, I'm going to put the stuff that I don't really care about that much out there. But if we really believe that it's going to evolve to be part of my core business, then SLAs will absolutely be necessary, and it will absolutely be part of the contractual relationship between that service provider and that customer. So we aren't there yet, but what we will see is that more and more of these public cloud services come out there, that this is where I believe it's going to evolve. And mm-hmm. for IT professionals to take any of this seriously, there is going to have to be some level of SLA out there. But again, that we have nothing of that sort now. Now, there's plenty of companies out there that will provide enterprise-class off-site services, right? These are more hosting than they are cloud. But then the line gets blurry. It's like, okay, what's the difference between cloud and hosting services? And it really comes down to the fact that, you know, the cloud provider owns all of the infrastructure. This is my infrastructure, and you get to rent part of it out. You get to use some of it. So the multi-tenancy, the scalability, the economies of scale become very important, whereas more in hosting it becomes, hey, you know, we're dedicating this thing to you. You're paying for this infrastructure. It just happens to be living at our premises. So, but again, in those cases, you will have SLAs, absolutely. But we have to see the evolution of public cloud storage to provide some SLAs before IT professionals are going to really take it seriously as a part of or as a complement to their core business infrastructure.
All right, great. Well, thanks for joining me today, Tony.
Thank you.
And for more on service level agreements with storage vendors, be sure to visit searchstorage.com.